We spoke last time about the way that Elokus, the way that godliness, the way that Hashem's presence is felt in the world. Maybe if the word Elokus scares us, then maybe just using the word God's presence is an easier term to swallow. Do we see God or do we not see God? So God can be revealed. That will certainly be what will be true ba'achris hayamim, in the end of days. But in our current existence, so God's presence is not felt directly. We don't see God. The ability for his divinity, which is so ever-present and powering existence, so it doesn't find overt expression in our world. So you need to really look for it. And you have to be a mamin sometimes to believe that it's there because it's not always immediately obvious. The name of Hashem, we said, that's associated with the expression of Hashem in this world in its mitigated form, in its lessened form. Again, not lessened at the core. If the clouds are blocking, the sun is just as bright. Hashem's presence is ever as powerful in the sense of what it is. But in terms of how it's perceived in our world, so it's mitigated, it's lessened. And that is the shame of Elokim. When we speak about the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's associated with how Hashem is manifest down here in our world. So the term that we use, the name that we use of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the name of Elokim. Okay. The expression, how is Hashem's presence, how is his, I shouldn't say his presence now, how is Hashem's influence on our world, how is it expressed in our world? If our world is a world where Hashem's presence is not seen overtly, so how does Hashem interact with the world? So we're going to introduce a term, Hishtalshlus Hamadregos, which means the emanation of levels. The mashal that Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver uses in his introduction to the Haggadah is he talks about a king. And the king in general doesn't want to leave his palace, doesn't want to leave the safety of his palace. And therefore, the king, when he wants to issue an edict, so he doesn't leave his palace and come to your town to tell you the edict, but he tells his ambassadors, his advisors who are in the palace. They then send the message out to the governors. The governors of the provinces tell it to the mayors of the cities. The mayors of the cities tell it to the local town leaders. And the local town leaders go into the town and announce in shul, hear ye, the king has made an edict. Now, when you are in shul and you hear this announcement being made, when you're in the town square and you hear this announcement being made, are you hearing the word of God? Are you encountering the presence of God? Well, yes and no. It's God's direct word, but it's not being expressed directly by him. He sits pretty in his palace, protected in his palace, and he's able to use channels to get his message out. So using that mashal, when Hashem wants to interact with our world, and he's always interacted with our world, Hashem is orchestrating historical events, personal events. Hashem is very active in our world. Hashkacha, schar v'onesh, brachos, klolos, nisim, healing, parnasa. So Hashem has to do all of this via a very intricate system where he himself is not Kaviyocho, is not getting involved in an overt way. He's in his palace, Kaviyocho. But he's sending his messages out through a very intricate system. We can call it malachim. We can call it sarim. When we say a malach, we don't necessarily mean a winged creature that's flying around. It means that there are forces and methods that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has for influencing the lower world. And he does that in general from a distance. The lowest rung on that ladder of him interacting with the world is what? Is nature. Nature is a tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses to give bracha, whether it's through rain. He'll use nature, he'll use human nature in order to work out for someone, if he wants someone to get a job, if he wants. Now, obviously, there's a complex interplay here between hishtadlus, and a person has to act as well. But when Hashem wants to give you, he doesn't make you rich by waking up one morning and there's a huge pile of money next to your bed. He does it through natural channels. Business is doing well, right? We all know that in the era that we're in right now, in this coronavirus, COVID-19 era, so there are certain businesses that are suffering greatly, and there are other businesses that are flying. So Hashem has many methods, and he has many tools at his disposal in order to be able to be mashkiach on the world, schar v'onesh. That's what they write in the Sfarma. You know, we can quote it from a very prosaic source. It doesn't have to be a deep Kabbalistic sefer you've never heard of. From Rabbeinu Bechai, I believe, brings down that the gematria, which we use gematria sometimes to as a method for teaching, deeper teachings. So the gematria of the word Elohim, but you know, Elohim, is hateva, the system of nature. Not teva, not nature. The system of nature. Meaning what so many of us look at as Mother Nature, the system of nature. Hateva, and we give it that the before it because many people make the mistake of seeing it as the controlling force in the world, nature. So in reality, what appears to us as Teva is really Elohim. It's really Hashem, but being manifest in our world through the Shem Elohim, which is the name of Hashem in the mitigated form of revelation. And if we look deeper into this name Elohim, so we can continue to learn out this Yesod and to, I hope, to deepen it. Now here you're going to have to bear with me a little bit because if you're not used to this type of Torah, at first it's going to sound a little bit out there. If Yisrael, if it doesn't already. So Rav Moshe Shapiro used to quote this very often. It's from the Ramchal, it's from the Gra. He says that the word Eileh, Aleph Lamed He, which means what? What does Eila mean? It means these, this, but this in plural. These. Eila is a term that we use for all of the physical things that we see around us. It's something that you could point at. You could say these things. It's the multiplicity. It's the abundance of materialism that we see in our world. Now, some of these concepts, you have to sort of just connect to the idea that's being said. So I'll say a sentence right now. You have to tell me if you understand what I mean by this. When you speak about things being deep and holy and divine, so we speak about unity, things, everything working together, everything coming together, everything being connected. When you speak about materialism and a lack of divinity, so then we speak about scattering, multiplicity, right? Does that make sense? That those concepts, the idea of Hashem, Elohim, God's presence, so that brings a certain unity to everything. And when we speak about the confusion of life that doesn't seem to have a God directing it, so then all of the different details of our lives look like a bunch of scattered events. You don't see that unity to them. So the Eileh, the stuff, Eila is a term that we use when we refer to physicality, to materialism, to a world bereft of godliness. Indeed, Eila is a gematria of 36. And 36 is 6 times 6. Right, Benji? Now, 6 is the maxing out of nature without a divine unity to it. What do I mean by that? There are 6 days of creation before Shabbos comes. 6 days of creation are days of just things emerging. And then Shabbos comes, the number 7, Shabbos comes, and it brings a certain unity to everything that's happened. It brings the week to a close, and it turns all of the multiplicity of the week into a unit. In fact, in our reality, there are six directions. There's forward and back, left and right, and then up and down. Three dimensions is really six directions. So when you're speaking about maxing out physicality, the physical world, the natural world, so just like there are six directions, just like there are 6 days of the week, the number six is going to represent maxing out physicality. Physicality is three dimensions. It's forward and back, right and left, up and down. It's 6 days of the week in which it was created. So when you max that out, six times six, we'll get there in a second, Dave. Six times six is the maxing out of nature bereft of God. Dave asked, so I'll address it. What's the number seven? Seven is when the materialism, when the physicality is united with the divinity of God. And seven, Shabbos, so seven is when we begin to see the expression of Hashem in the physical world. It's what unites it. But at that point, Dave, we're still confined to nature and to the physical world. It's the revelation of Hashem in the physical world. Shabbos is a physical reality in our world. It was creation. Creation was not 6 days. Creation was 7 days. It's just that 6 days is a creation bereft of any godliness, and seven is a creation that has godliness. But what kind of godliness? The godliness that we've spoken about, which is the godliness where God is confined. The expression of God is not full. The eighth level is what takes us beyond. It's where we start to get a glimpse of the revelation of God's glory. I would say six is a world without God. Seven is a world with Elohim. That's why Elohim is the name of creation. Bereishis bara Elohim. Keep looking in Bereishis. It always says Elohim till the very end. And eight is a world of Yudke Vavke. It's a world that takes us into the revealed revelation, expression, of God. So Ela, again, being a number that maximizes six, is an existence of materialism. And it's so easy to get caught up in all of the Ela. All of the Alar, the iPhones and the cars and the mansions and the fancy clothing, that's all of the Ela of this world. There is no deeper meaning to it. It's a maximizing, and it's great. If your goal is just to maximize this world, get yourself a nice house and a nice car and a nice phone and nice clothing. When you walk down the street, I will look at you and say, that is a person who's maximizing the material physical world. He's doing it, and he's doing it great. However, our job is not to just look at the Ela, but it's to connect the Ela to something much deeper, to recognize that behind the Ela, there's Hashem, that there's an Elohim that runs the world. And the way that we do that is by connecting all of the physicality that we're involved with to something godly, to something divine. We connect it to the Yud Mem. The word Elohim is the word Ele, but in addition to that, the letters Yud Mem. Now, first of all, we already mentioned how the Yam, the ocean, represents all of the hidden godliness that we don't see. When you look out onto the ocean, when you look out onto the sea, you don't see anything, even though it's teeming with life. But that is Hashem in our world. Hashem is a Kelmistat there. He's hidden. He's below the surface, or he's above the surface. So just like when you look out at the sea, when you look out at the Yam, you don't see the godliness. You don't see, all of the fish and all of the plants, and you don't see all of the huge life that's going on underneath the surface. The Yam is something that hides its depths. So too, when we connect Yud Mem to the Eileh. So that is when we live a spiritually uplifted existence. Yud Mem is also the letters Mem Yud, me, who. Meaning when you look at the Eileh, when you look at all of the physicality, you need to ask the question of identity. Who is all of this Eileh? Who is behind all of this Eileh? Like when Avram Avinu looked at the Bira Dolekes, and he says, who is behind this fire that's burning in this building? Who's behind all of this world? Me. Who is it that's behind all of this? And indeed, this is the amazing pasuk that we read. Su'u marom einechem, raise up your eyes, and what? Ure'u mi bara eileh. You heard the words I just said? Su'u marom einechem, the Torah tells us. Raise up your eyes and see mi bara eileh. Look at the heavens and try to figure out who created all of this. Mi bara eileh. And Elohim is when the word me and Eileh come together. And it's deeper than that, because me, Yud Mem, Mem Yud, is a gematria of 50. And as Dave just mentioned a second ago, how do you max out a world when God is hidden? Where God is there, but he's hidden. 7 times 7 is 49. What's the letter? What's the number that takes us right beyond that? What's the number that brings us into an existence where God's presence is not just hidden, but it's actually revealed? It's seen, it's perceivable. That's the number 50. A true Eved Hashem can see 49. He can see in the physical world. He can see the Keuach Eloki that's pulsating within the world. But can he see beyond? Can he realize that there's even much more than what the eye is able to slightly perceive? There's a hidden Elokus. There's a Yam. There's a huge ocean out there. There's a Yam. Mi bara eileh. There's so much more that's deeper. Is a person able to see that? Chazal tells us when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he was given 49 levels of understanding. But the 50th level was just beyond him. He couldn't fully grasp the 50th level because the 50th level is beyond any human being. Because the 50th level takes us into the world of Yud Kei Vav Kei, the word, the name that is unable to be pronounced in this world because it's not shaykh to this world. So the 50th level, the Mem Yud, when it's connected with Eileh, when a person sees the name Elohim, but he realizes that that's really Eileh, the stuff that I see, but hidden within inside it is the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the name of Elohim. The Ramban tells us in the very beginning of this of the Torah that Elohim, what's the kavanah you're supposed to have when you say the word Elohim? Baal HaKochos Kulam, which he says means that Hashem is the force behind every force that we see. He's the Baal of all of the Kochos. He's the Koach behind all the Kochos. When we see Kochos in the world, the force that's behind all of that nature, so that is Hashem. Now, the Gentiles don't see that. They don't see Hashem behind nature. And that's what the Pasuk in Tehillim tells us in Perek Tes. Kol HaGoyim Shochachei Elokim. They forget Elokim. They forget to link the Yud Mem and the Eileh. They don't link the 50th with the 36th. They don't see beyond the physical things that are before them. But we're not allowed to fall prey to that perspective. The Pasuk tells us in Sefer Vayikra, Al titamu bichol eileh. Don't become impure with all of this eileh. Or the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Lo ke'eileh cholak Yaakov. That's not the chelek of Yaakov. The chelek of Yaakov is not ka'eileh. It's not to get stuck in the eileh. Rather, su'u marom einechem, raise up your eyes, ure'u, mi bara eileh. See that me. See the me. Ask the question, who stands behind everything that I see? This, the Gra says, is the Amkus of the Chet HaEgel. Klal Yisrael went up to Har Sinai, and at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael returned to the pre-Chet existence. It says, Paskazu Amasam, when Adam and Chava sinned, the Nachash infused his Zuama into them. And when they stood at Har Sinai, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, Paska Zuamasan, it left whatever impurity that they got. And Klal Yisrael at this point was Shayach again to a Yudke Vavke existence of that Kosnos Or. Remember, Adam was originally created with a Kosnos Or with an Aleph. But they lost it at Chet HaEgel. What was Chet HaEgel? Chet HaEgel was, in light of what we just said, separating the Eile from the Me. Taking the name Elohim and rejecting it by not seeing the Me, Bara Eile. And indeed, it's amazing. We couldn't have written it better ourselves. What do they say at Chet HaEgel? They look at the Egel and what do they say? They say, Eile Elokecha Yisrael. Eile, this is our God. We worship science. We worship nature. There's no deeper connection beyond this. This, Eile Elokecha Yisrael. They denied that there's a Bala Kochos Kulam. And in fact, it's even deeper than that. Because what is an Egel? Why did they choose an Egel? An Egel is a Lashon. What does the Shoresh of Egel mean? An Igul. What's an Igul? It's a circle. Indeed, what did they do around the Egel? They danced in a circle. What does that mean, a circle? What does a circle represent? A circle reflects the natural cycle of the world. You ever read Koheles? Ein chadash tachas hashemesh. What's the shape of the sun? It's a golden circle. Like the Egel Hazav. What does the sun represent? The sun represents the natural cycle of nature. No development, nothing greater. Dor holeich v'dor ba v'ha'olam li'olam omedes. Right? That's what it says in Koheles. One generation comes, people die, people are born, there's nothing new, the world's always existed. Mitzrayim was the headquarters of those who only see Teva. The word Mitzrayim itself means a meitzar. It means a constriction. It's a limited perspective on reality. You can't see anything deeper. You're stuck in this world existence. You're stuck under the sun, in the rat race of the natural world, chasing after your car, chasing after a nicer house. There's nothing deeper. There's no deeper meaning to anything. That was the Mitzrayim perspective. And amazingly, what does Yirmiyahu HaNavi say in Perek Mem Vav? You ready for this? Egla Yefefia Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a beautiful egel. That's what Mitzrayim is. Because that's what Mitzrayim was. The essence of Mitzrayim, the Meitzar, was to see the world as just this monotonous cycle with no meaning. And sure enough, who did the Egyptians worship? They worshipped Ra, not evil. The word Ra, not the Hebrew word. Ra was their original god of the sun. They originally worshipped the sun. Now, they worshipped a lot of gods originally, but famously, there was a Egyptian pharaoh, Akhenaten, who started Atenism, and Atenism was, instead of now worshipping many gods, one of them being the sun, we are now only worshipping the sun, the disk of the sun, the circle of the sun. Atenism, the religion of Mitzrayim, was to worship the sun, that round disk that goes round and round and limits any existence that's deeper than the cycle of nature. It's so blinding, the power of nature, that you can't even look at the sun. It's this egel, it's this igul zahav that tells you stop at nature and don't see anything deeper in existence. Paro was the king of this. Paro is king of Mitzrayim. Pasuk in Yechezkel tells us that Paro said, Li Ya'ori v'ani asitani. I made the Ya'or. What's the Ya'or for Mitzrayim? It's the sign of nature. The Nile River. It's how they lived. It overflowed. Mitzrayim said, Paro said, I created nature. What does that mean if man created nature? That's the great march of science. That's the great march of the Enlightenment, saying, what, nature? God created nature? Man created nature. We'll put a man on the moon. We'll figure out disease. Man created nature. That's what Paro said. What, he really believed he created the Nile? I mean, what, he doesn't remember? When did you create the Nile? But he convinced himself. This is the great march of science to argue that everything is natural. There's nothing deeper. And if there's nothing deeper that created the world, there's also no greater meaning to the world. Paro is the gematria of Shana. Shana. What does the word Shana mean? Mishnah, Lishanot. Shana means to repeat, like the word Shani. The year, how do we count years? Based on the sun. Because the sun, the solar cycle, is what creates this march of years repeating itself. And that's what Paro represented. He was the gematria of Shana because that's what Egypt, with their worship of the sun, that's what they were all about. It's actually an amazing thing. I noticed it while I was preparing for this year this afternoon. Now, the Pasuk by Chet HaEgel uses such a funny lashon. The Pasuk says like this, Vayar Moshe Sa'am ki faruahu. He saw they were parua. Same shorish as paro. And if that's not enough, listen to the next words of the Pasuk. Ki faro o aron l'shimtza b'kameihem. How does that word spelled? Ki faro o aron. Pei resh ayin hey. Paro. The nation became paro. Meaning this bechina of paro, this bechina of shana, the cycle, the sun, worshiping the igul, the egel, all of these things, that's what happened at the Chet HaEgel. The spechina of Paro, Klal Yisrael rejected who they are, the circle, and instead they connected to the circle, the igul. And we know that Klal Yisrael has no shaychus to this, like we said. Don't be shochechei Elokim, al titamu b'chol eile. And what's Yisrael? What does the word Yisrael mean? Yashar Kel. Yashar Kel. What does that mean? Straight to God. The opposite, if you could say the opposite of a circle, is a straight line. While the circle never get, right? The circle goes up. Oh, it's looking towards God. No, comes back down. Goes up, comes back down. As opposed to the line. Yashar Kel. Yisrael, what do? We associate everything to Hashem. We don't allow things to be stuck in this circle, but we look beyond the sun. We go straight up, Yashar Kel. And that's why the great battle between Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim was a battle between the sun and the moon. Who's Klal Yisrael Nimshala to? Klal Yisrael's Nimshala to the moon. The moon is the arch nemesis of the sun. So the sun, which represents Mitzrayim, which represents the blinding existence, the blindingness, the Iver, Ayin Vav Resh, the Kosnos Or with an Ayin. It represents being blinded by all of the Eile. Klal Yisrael reflects something else. The moon and the moon's phases are the antithesis of the sun because the moon is different every night. The sun is the same sun because it's Shana, because it repeats itself, because it's a cycle, because it's monotonous, because it's screaming, there is no meaning, Tachas HaShemesh. and the moon is yelling the opposite. The moon is different every day. There's hashkacha. Things are changing. Hashem's involved. Nothing's a constant. Daven today, you can change everything tomorrow. This huge clash between the moon and the sun, which began back at the time of the Chet of Adam, when Hashem threw the moon down and said, you're not going to be the king with the sun. So this amazing battle. And that's why, what mitzvah did we leave Mitzrayim with? HaChodesh Hazel Lochem Rosh Chadashim. Chodesh, Chidush. The opposite of sun, of Shana. Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim with the zchus of the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazel Lochem. So sanctify the new moon in the face of what the Egyptians were screaming. And I want to move towards concluding. When Yaakov Avinu sees the children of Yosef on his deathbed, so there's a very strange experience there. You have to remember, Yosef is from Rachel. We said already that Rachel is the koach of Hashem being revealed in this world, even if it's only small, as opposed to Leah, which is the hidden, the deeper neshama. Rachel represents the guf. It represents being able to find Hashem in this world. That's who Yosef was. That's why Yosef was able to be a political figure in Mitzrayim and stay strong, because he knew how to find Hashem even in the darkness of this world. But there's a danger when you go out and confront the secular world, the world of nature, and you try to find God. And what's the danger? The danger is that you'll lose sight. You'll get stuck in all of the Eila. So it's an amazing pasuk now. Yosef brings his sons, Ephraim and Menashe, to Yaakov. And what does Yaakov say? Anyone remember? Mi Eile. Who are these two guys who are shayach to Eile? And if you look at Rashi, so Rashi says, because he saw that Yeravam ben Nevat, the evil king of Israel, who set up what? Two egels. He didn't want Klal Yisrael to go to the Beis HaMikdash, so he set up egels. He repeated the sin of Chet HaEgel. Yeravam comes from Yosef, from Yosef's children. And Rashi quotes this. So when Yaakov saw Yeravam in Menashe and Ephraim, in Yosef's children, he says, Mi Eile, what's going on here? And amazingly, what is Yosef's response, right? Because Yaakov is basically asking, he's questioning their allegiance to the mission of Rachel, the mission of finding Hashem in this darkened world in order to reveal more and more godliness. Are they really going to unite the me and the Eile? Are they going to be able to find the me in the Eile? Or are they going to be stuck in the Chet HaEgel? Eile Elokecha Yisrael. So amazingly, what does Yosef say back? He says, no, 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 Dad. Bonaihem. They come from our stock. Asher Nosan Li Elokim. These are my children that Elohim gave me. They're shayach to the mission of Rachel. They're shayach to the Elohim, uniting the me and Eile. This is our challenge in Gullus. We all live in a world of Gullus. We live in a world where the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedusha, is hard to find. It's easy to be drawn after the physical world, and to, whether it's on an intellectual level, scientific level, whether it's just on a pure taiva level of materialism, it's so hard to see the Elohim hiding behind everything. We have to remember that the word galus, the shorish of the word galus, is lehit galot. It means to reveal. The mission of being in galus, Rachel sitting on the road crying for you to succeed, the mission of galus is to be megaleh, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And we should be zocha that if we're able to do that, if we're able to be megaleh, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world, so we'll be zocha to the day where it won't just be us finding the godliness in the world, but Hashem will reveal himself completely and the whole world will return back to its original state. What do we say in Kiddush Levana once a month? That Hashem should return the lost light of the moon. That the moon shall once again be as strong and as powerful as the sun. We look forward to the day where Klal Yisrael is able to be those who are the messengers, the ambassadors of Elokus in the world, and bring that message to everyone. Everyone have a great day.